Just surrender to him. Just surrender to him. Kera baha sodruşe tiri bariye diri kedriye baha sodruşe tiriye. Kera maha sediriye diri kedruşe tiri beri kedriye diri kedruşe tiri mandri. Jesus. Lord, you are so welcome. We are here to meet with you. We worship you. We honor you. We glorify you. There is none like you. You are the God that strengthens our souls. Your name is a strong tower. We run into it and we are saved. We glorify you. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Holy unto you. We praise you. We honor you. Holy Spirit, will you come? Will you touch your people? Will you come and break the yoke? You alone are worthy. We praise you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. Isn't his presence awesome? Isn't his presence everything? If he doesn't come, I don't want to be here. But what happens is that we get comfortable and we get content with just hearing new wisdom. But we do not come to have experience with God. We come to get a new word. And we are satisfied. But we need to get to a point where we come to have a new encounter with the living God. Because that encounter will change everything. His presence will change everything. And there are so many people that just come for a word. But I hope that I have hungry people in this church, that you have come for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have not just come for a word, but you have come to diligently, passionately, violently seek the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because He alone can change things. He alone can change things. He alone can change things. A word is not going to do it. When you walk out of this place, you will forget what I've said. But if you encounter the King of Kings, if you have encounter with Him, how will you forget? How will you forget if a king came to touch you? If His Spirit came and He touched your soul and He bring liberty, how will I forget? Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you. I pray that you will come in and touch your people. I pray that you will come in with a spirit of hunger. In the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. You can have your seat. Pastor Leon is just, he had to be with another church this morning. And he's really very, very sad that he cannot be here this morning. But I know that he's here in spirit. And I know that he has already prayed for you. That he's been in prayer the whole day yesterday for you, especially for these meetings. And he's helping out another pastor. Because we are in connection with the local pastors. We are not just doing our own thing. And Pastor Leon is just there. And I just want to tell you that I submit the word that's going to go out this morning to the oversight. You know, Paul wrote in the Bible and he said that when a woman talks, she must cover her head. And he was talking about authority. He says that you need to know that you are under authority. And I know that I'm under the authority on the leadership of this church, Pastor Leon and Esty de Pria. And this word will be submitted to them. Are you ready? We're not going to be long. And I hope my voice will make it through the next 20 minutes. You can pray for me. C.S. Lewis said that a definition of hell is a very long church service without the presence of God. I'm going to talk about the presence of God in this morning. It's going to be 20 minutes. If you can give me 20 minutes, we're going to talk about the anointing upon. You get the anointing within. Each and every believer has the anointing within. When you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you get the anointing within. The Holy Spirit makes His house inside of you. But then there is a level when the anointing comes upon. The anointing comes upon to set you apart for the ministry, to anoint you for a specific job. And we're going to talk about that anointing in this morning. Are you ready? Benny, put on for me John 6:28 in the Amplified Bible. Are you hungry enough to pursue the presence of God? Are you hungry enough to pursue the anointing upon? Then they said, what are we to do that we may habitually be working the works of God? That word works talks about the anointing. What can I do to habitually walk in the anointing of God? What can I do to habitually have the anointing upon my life so that I can be a dangerous Christian, that I can go out, cast out demons, raise the dead? There are a lot of Christians that walk around with a Bible underneath their arm. There are a lot of Christians that praise for 20 years and that are in the churches, but never experience the anointing upon their life. And these guys said, then they said, what are we to do that we may habitually be working the works of God? What can I do as a Christian to habitually walk in the anointing and have the anointing upon my life? Are you ready? This is what Jesus said. Luke 4:18. He says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. There is a time and there is a place when the anointing will come upon you. Why? He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover all sight to the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed. There is an anointing available for you. Don't think it's only for other people. If we have a hungry people in this church, that God will answer you by the anointing upon. There is an anointing out there. And if you're going to catch this in this morning, you will become a dangerous Christian. Because there are a lot of people that only operate out of the anointing within. But you guys are different. There is a spirit of hunger in this church that the people that are hungry for a move of God will experience the anointing upon. And they will become the dangerous. They will become the people that will change the city. They will become the people that will take over. There is a substance that is called the anointing. The anointing will change things in your life. Jesus said this, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon, there will be a power that will be released in your life. And that's where we want to come this morning. There is a lot of people that go out and they do not have the anointing upon. When Peter and John came to the man that was sitting at the gate and he was asking for money, they said, I don't have money, but what I have, I will give you. There are a lot of people that goes out and start a ministry, but they do not have the anointing upon. You cannot give what you do not have. If you have the anointing upon, you can give that anointing. You can operate in power. You can operate in the anointing, the substance of the anointing. What is the anointing? The anointing is a person. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. Do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Is He your best friend? In the Greek, the anointing talks about a rubbing. It talks about a smearing. The word anointing is the word charisma. That's where we get the word charisma from. And it talks about a rubbing in, a smearing in. Just think about it. When the anointing oil comes upon you and it flows from the beard of Aaron and it comes from the head and it flows over to the body and there is a smearing. There is a oneness with the anointing. There is a oneness with the one. There is a oneness with the Holy Spirit. Something is happening. There is an anointing upon. It is a tangible impartation of the substance of the anointing. It's a rubbing. It's a smearing. If you're going to spend time with the Holy Spirit in His presence, He will become to smear off on you. And it will be tangible. It is a tangible substance of the anointing. And it can come upon. Are you guys with me? All right. Are you ready to receive the anointing? I'm going to quickly explain to you the definition of the anointing. You can write this down. The anointing is a divine enablement of God's ability. It's a divine enablement of God's ability. Suddenly you will find yourself in a place where you operate out of a different kingdom, out of a different level, out of a different mindset. It's the anointing is a divine enablement of God's ability. The anointing is a precious and essential element that allows the believer to do things outside of his natural ability. Are you ready to operate in the anointing? Are you ready to move out of the box, out of your natural ability, into the supernatural ability of a living God? Are you ready? Are you hungry enough? The anointing is a tangible measure of God's ability that can flow through the life of the born-again believer. A tangible, you can feel it. You can experience it. You can seek it. You can press into it. A tangible impartation. The anointing is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The anointing is a transferable, tangible substance from heaven. The anointing cannot be taught. The anointing can only be caught. Can you catch the anointing in this morning? Are you hungry enough to pursue the anointing upon your life? I need a hungry people. I need a people that say that I will diligently, passionately, violently pursue the anointing of God upon my life. The Bible says this, that the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent will take it by force. I hope that you will be a violent people that are so desperate for the anointing of God, so that His tangible presence will come upon us, so that you can take the city, so that you can take the city, so that you can take the city. For He is a tangible substance. You can smear Him in if you're just gonna spend time with His anointing. The purpose of the anointing, Isaiah 10:27 says this, "It shall come to pass in that day that His burden will be taken away from your shoulders and His yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing." Is there a yoke upon your life? Do you have a financial yoke? Do you have a demonic yoke? Do you have a family yoke? Is there anything in your life that is causing a yoke upon your life? I tell you in this morning that the anointing is available to break that yoke. The anointing is there for breakthrough. The anointing is there to break the yoke that has been upon you. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Jesus said that the anointing came upon Him. Learn from Jesus. When the anointing came upon Him, He became our yoke. Let you be yoked with Jesus Christ, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, with the substance from heaven. There is something that you can catch. There is something that can make a difference in your life. I refuse to be just a normal Christian in the pews, but I am violently pressing into the anointing into his presence so that the tangible substance of the anointing can come upon my life. That when I go out, I can cast out demons. That when I go out, the anointing works. There are three enemies to the anointing. Number one, religion. Religion killed the Messiah. Religion killed Jesus. Do not let religion come between you and the anointing. Do not let religion kill the anointing in your life. Number two, tradition. Don't let your traditions kill the anointing. It's an enemy of the anointing. If you move and you come into this place and you think to yourself, that's not what I'm used to, don't let the anointing get cut off. The Holy Spirit cannot be put in the box. Don't let our traditions come before the anointing and his movement. Number three, familiarity. Familiarity can cut you off from the anointing. Jesus couldn't do many miracles in his hometown because of familiarity. They said, who's this guy? Is he not the son of Joseph? Didn't we go to school together? Didn't we swap psalms at school at lunchtime? Isn't this just the boy of Mary? Isn't this just my e-group leader? Isn't that just Pastor Leon? That will cut you off from the anointing. Because remember, we said that the anointing is transferable. If you want what he walks in, if you want what those guys walked in before, you need to understand and honor that mantle. You need to understand and honor what is on his life. And then that anointing will be imparted. Decrease familiarity and increase the anointing. I want to quickly talk to you guys about two things. And how do I catch this anointing? And there are two ways. Number one, and they're all a couple together, is intimacy, love of God, pressing in, and hunger. You know what sometimes happens, and as I started this year at the church in full time, I'm here. I'm the whole time in the church. There is anointing in the church. We are busy with the things of God. I see people. We do deliverance during the day. His anointing is present. See Pastor Leon every day. We do e-groups. We have SOM and SOD. And I need to become cautious that I do not replace my intimate time that I have with Jesus by thinking that when I'm here at the church and in his presence and when his presence is here, that is all right. Because children only comes because of intimacy. Fruitfulness only comes because of intimacy. And I cannot replace my time here at the church with the intimacy that I have in my secret room. Intimacy with the Father will bring fruitfulness. And that's what happens sometimes. We're so busy. We're an e-group leader. We're here on a Saturday. We pray. We have e-groups. We have SOM, SOD. And then we think that's enough. That's not your relationship with Jesus. That's just busy in the ministry. Your relationship with Jesus is in your inner room. Your relationship with Jesus is not when you're here. Your relationship is when you close the door and when you seek his face. When you say that I'm not going to leave you until you bless me. I'm not going to move until you move with me. That you are so hungry. A hunger is such a desire that if it's not, what is the word? Let's see. If it's not, if that craving is not fulfilled, that you can die. That's how hungry you must be for his presence. That you say that if you do not pitch up, if you do not come, I will die. I cannot move without you. I cannot do this without you. There must be a pressing in. The dictionary says this. It says, the violently, passionately, aggressively, desperately take a hold of God's presence. How hungry are you for His presence? Or have you come for a word? Have you only come for knowledge? Or have you come to press into the presence of a living God and say that I will not move until you touch me? How many of us have lost that first love? You know, Ephesus was a very big church. They had 100,000 people. And that was the biggest church up until Dr. Yonki Chow started his church. And they were doing very well. But there's one thing God said. I have this against you, that you have lost your love for me. Yes, I am in the presence of God. I am here every day at church. I'm preaching from this pulpit. I'm standing, casting out demons. We're doing F1, F2. But do I love Jesus? Do I love Jesus? Will I tell Him when I stand before Him, but I casted out demons in Your name. I had a mic and I was preaching. Your presence was present. And He's going to ask me, but do you love me? Did you do this because you love me? Did you do this because you were so hungry and so passionate for me that you would have died if I didn't pitch up? David says this, Psalm 63, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsts for Thee. My flesh longs for Thee. Then he says, to see Thy power and Thy glory. Your hunger will cause God to reward you with power and with glory. There is a pressing in. There is a people on the planet that says that I will press in. No matter what comes against me. No matter the lies that has been spoken. But I will press in. The lady with the issue of blood. She violated 14 Jewish laws. But she said, I have to touch Him. I have to touch Him. I have to touch Him. If I can just touch Him. If I can touch the anointing, the yoke will fall. There will be breakthrough. I need you to be hungry. I need you to say that if you do not pitch up, I will die. She said, I just need you. Jesus said this. He said that I want to establish and restore the tabernacle of David. Why didn't He want to restore the tabernacle of Moses or of Solomon? I mean, Moses' tabernacle was the original tabernacle. And Solomon's tabernacle was glorious. But he came and he said that I want to restore the tabernacle of David. Because of the memories that he had with David. That was his favorite house. What memories do you have with Jesus? What memories does he have with you in the secret room? If he thinks about you, does he think about the times that you have intimacy with him in your secret place? Does he come and say, I want to spend time with you? I have a memory of you. Are you his favorite place? Is your inner room his favorite place? David said that I will not offer sacrifices unto God if it doesn't cost me something. He understood the value of sweat. He understood that it's going to cost me a price for the anointing. It's going to cost me something to press into the anointing, to have the anointing upon. If you think that sweat doesn't have a value, think about Jesus Christ when He was in Gethsemane and He sweated it out for humanity. Your sweat will be rewarded by the power and the glory of God. Are you His favorite house? Are you the place that He sits? David said this. He said, I am after that blue flame. I will bring the ark back into Israel, into the presence of Israel. I am after that blue flame. I want nothing else but the Holy Spirit. if the anointing is going to come into the city, we're going to need a people to carry the anointing into the gates of Centurion. A hungry people, a people that said, I am violently, passionately, desperately going to carry the anointing into the city. For God is waiting for a people that is hungry, that say that I cannot do this without you. It's like taking a man, and if I keep that man underwater, he's going to desperately start to try to come up for air. That feeling, think of that feeling, if you cannot get air and you're trying to get up, that is how desperate you will do anything there. There you will kill somebody to get air. Are you willing to kill the flesh? Are you willing to kill the carnality? Are you willing to set that aside for the anointing? We have become accustomed to temporary visitations. But are we willing to habitually have the anointing upon our life? Are we willing to habitually have the anointing upon our life? Just put Songs of Solomon 5 for me up. And I'm going to end with this. Do you make time for Jesus? Do you make time for Him in your inner room? It's in the Bible. Okay. Go to verse 2. All right. So the king is coming near to his bride, and he says this, I sleep, she's now saying, I sleep, but my heart is awake. It is the voice of my beloved. He knocks, saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one, for my head is covered with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. Then she replies like that, the king is coming. The king says, I want to have intimacy with you. I'm ready. I have prepared myself to spend time with you. And this is what she says. I have taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? I'm in my pajamas. I'm not ready. I have washed my feet already. How can I defile them? How can I get out of bed again? How can I spend time now? I haven't been prepared. I haven't even thought of you. And the king comes and he says, I want to spend time with you. I'm ready. Okay, go on. My beloved puts his hand by the latch of the door, and my heart yearns for him. I arose to open for my beloved. So after a while, she decides, all right, I will go. And my hands drip with myrrh, my fingers with the liquid myrrh on the handles of the lock. I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and was gone. My heart leaped up when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. All that she got was a fragrance. All that she got was a memory of Jesus that was there. If we are not intimate with Jesus, all that we will get is a memory of Him. Because I tell you now that He constantly cries out for the people to have intimacy with Him. He constantly and He is ready to fill a people with the anointing. But that anointing will only come upon people that are hungry, that say that I will do everything to give it, everything to receive it. Do not be satisfied with a memory of Jesus Christ, but only be satisfied with His presence, with His supernatural, tangible, manifested presence. Do not be satisfied only with the smell where He once was, but be satisfied with Him. The reluctance to pay the seemingly high cost of intimacy is the root cause of our barrenness. We want to ask ourselves, why are we not fruitful? But we don't have intimacy with the One. We don't have intimacy with the King. When He asks us to come, we say no. All we have left is a fragrance of Him. We only left with a memory. David pursued the ark of God. He pursued the presence and he brought the presence in. And he was dancing. And Michal, I'm not sure how you pronounce her name. Let's say Michal. She looked, it was his wife, and she looked upon him and she despised him in her heart because he loved the anointing. And the curse of barrenness came upon her. But could it be that David was never intimate with her again? And that there was no fruit. Don't get to a place where you're never intimate with Jesus again, because there might be no fruit. All right, the last point then. We said the first one is hunger, intimacy, seeking His presence. And the second one is association. I want to read you guys this verse, Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they are untrained and uneducated, they marveled. And they said this, and they realized that here they have been with Jesus. Who are you associating with? Do they know that you have been with Jesus? Do they know that you associate with the pastor and the leadership of this church? Who are you associating with? Association can make or break you. To catch the anointing from a person who serves and honor. When God sends a strong man of God into the midst, it is here for you to catch the anointing. If Pastor Leon, if God sent Pastor Leon into the region of Centurion, the reason is so that you can catch the anointing that is upon his life. What is your associations? Just put up your hands. Let's just surrender to Him. Just surrender to the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we cry out to You. I pray that You will make us hungry. I pray for a new hunger to come upon Your people. That they will seek You diligently, violently, passionately. That You will be their number one prize. That everything else will fall to the ground. I pray that the Spirit of God will come upon Your people to anoint them, to break the yoke. I pray that they will be a people that will carry the anointing into the city. We give You the praise. We give You the glory. We give You the honor. You alone are worthy. Amen.